The Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 10th day of August 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Along the way, we'll hear from University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke. He says there is about a 60% chance Acre will pay out big for corn this year. And don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $4.94 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. December at $5.20. Up 3 1/4, and the March contract at 5.39 1/4, 3 1/4 higher. September corn futures, 3.24 1/4, settlement price up 2 1/4. December at 3.30 1/2, up 4. The March at 3.44, 4 higher, and the May futures in the corn pit, 3.53 1/4, up 3 3/4. August soybean futures, $11.70 1/2, down 14. September, 10.67 1/2, down 23. November beans, 28 1/2 lower at $10.10. January, 10.14 1/4, down 27. And the March beans at $10.11, 23 3/4 lower. May futures at $10.50, down 21 cents. August meal at $3.67.20, down $7.30. August soybean oil at $36.49, 29 cents lower. From the cattle pits, August live cattle futures at $83.27 1/2, 57 1/2 lower. October at $88.32 1/2, down 80 cents. August feeders at $100.42 1/2, down 92 1/2. And the September futures there at $100.30, down 67 1/2. August lean hog futures, 50 cents lower at $48.30. The October contract, on the other hand, finished at $45 even, at a dime higher on this Monday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, the settlement price at $70.60, down 33 cents. And the ethanol at $1.53 3/10, 0.7 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.64 4/10 on its lead option, up or rather down 3 cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.03, 2 2/10 higher. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.93 even, 1 7/10 higher. The propane at $89.6 1/10, up 1 2/10. And the gold futures at $945 even. A settlement price there down $12.30. The Dow now at 9,296 is just about 73 points lower. And the U.S. dollar at 79.26 is up 0.28. The CRB index on the afternoon down 15 cents at 264.62 for the day. And the Goldman Sachs at 469.05 is 0.92 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like today from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in the north should be partly cloudy skies, elsewhere mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll be most numerous in the far south. Lows will range from 62 in northwestern Illinois to 74 in southern parts of the state of Illinois. And tomorrow in the north, partly to mostly sunny skies. In central sections, partly sunny. Scattered showers possible, mainly early in the day. In the south, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 80 in northern Indiana to 88 in the deep south. The extended forecast says temperatures will settle back to seasonal averages for midweek, before rebounding back to well above average for the end of the work week and into the weekend. The weekend warm-up will be more pronounced in the north and eastern sections of the two-state region as more seasonable conditions return to the area early next week. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the line with us on a Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural commodities is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I hear, like me, that you have been traveling a bit. I guess we both went to the same place, but I didn't see you in Vegas.
I did not see you either.
I had my whole family there. It was hard to miss.
Just my wife and myself were there. We weren't brave enough to take our whole family. But that was
brave enough, and I drove it all.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we put 1,200 miles on coming back on one day. Let's see, Saturday, we started in Albuquerque and took the Route 66 run back to here in Champaign. Well, through St. Louis, I suppose, into Springfield, and then back to Champaign County. And 1,200 miles in, 18 and a half, 19 hours.
You took the old Chevy Chase route?
Yes, I did, and it was a little National Lampoon vacation to Vegas, I have to admit. It was a load of fun, though. Did you lose much money?
No, it depends if you count the free drinks or not.
Well, I don't gamble, but my wife does, and we came back $100 richer, but a lot poorer, I know, from what we spent at the rest of the place. So, anyway, were you there all week, or did you see what happened last week in the marketplace?
No, I was gone all week.
Me too. Well, I guess we should only talk about what happened today, then, and what the report's going to show on Wednesday. What do you think?
Well, it's going to be a dynamic report. The surveys have been tallied up here, so we're just waiting for their release. And the art of this report is trying to balance a couple different things. One is the acreage, of course. Ideas are that corn acreage is going to be down some and bean acreage are going to be up. Then also, too, you got to come in and figure harvested acres, too. That's going to be a problem in the mix because some are just messing with planted acres and carrying that through to harvested acres. So planted acres might be the same. They might lower harvest acres and vice versa. So that's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. Then, of course, the yield. Bean yields seem to be coming in about steady, but just about most of the analysts are looking at a little higher corn yield. The average corn yield is 157.4 bushels the acre. And that's kind of hard to get a handle on because there's some areas that have been devastated with weather, not receiving beneficial weather forecasts here, too wet early, a little dry here, and there's other areas that's been ideal. So we'll see what the observation is and what the state breakdowns are in yield. Then lastly, of course, not to carry this out, is the demand side of the equation. Old crop bean carryout expected to be tight. New crop bean demand is probably going to be up a little bit. Then the question, the corn demand, where the chips fall there. To make a long story short, the ideas are corn carryout could be bumped up a little bit, and bean carryout could be lowered a little bit from the previous numbers we've seen.
And then let's take out very quickly what did happen last week. Corn managed to have a rally and then sat back pretty sharply. On the other hand, beans gapped higher, and they've stayed that way.
Yeah, that was the big event there, and today was probably squaring that away a little bit. A lot of questions, why corn up and beans down? Well, corn went back near the lows, and beans have come off the highs here, sort of making up some territory, some profit-taking, some unwinding of the spread we feel has taken place. Also, too, in the beans, there's ideas maybe this demand can slow down a little bit as we go through August. Also in the beans, we're watching a world palm oil values, the monsoons in India, they're forecasted to have a little better chance here of some moisture as we go through midweek. But if that moisture fails to develop, we could probably see the world vegetable oil market getting back on track here in an orderly fashion.
Well, thanks for being with us, and hope you had a great trip to Vegas, and you can get settled back into work real quickly.
Boy, I appreciate that, and next time I see you, we'll have to tell a few stories.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon, back in just a few moments when we'll talk with Gary Schnitke about the ACRE program.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
By the end of business this Friday, Gary Schnitke, farm management specialist at the U of I, farmers and landowners will have to make a decision and have it in to the FSA office as to whether they are going to choose the ACRE program this year or to stay in the traditional program. You recently penned a FEFO, Farm Economics and Facts, opinion paper on it. What does it say?
Our newsletter article says that we would expect the ACRE option to pay more than the traditional option on most Illinois farms over time.
Yeah, not just this year, but over the life of the ACRE sign-up period, which would be through the 2012 season.
Yep, so if a farmer signs a farm up for ACRE in 2009, it's enrolled in ACRE from 2009 through 2012. And we did a couple things. One of the things we did was look at how ACRE paid historically. And ACRE on corn in Illinois would have paid in about 33% of the years, 1 in 3 years. And when it pays pretty big. The average payment historically would have been $57 per acre. And there actually are some years in which those ACRE payments could exceed $100 an acre. So, but over time, if you average the payment years in with those where you get zero, it averaged $17 a year.
I suppose right now what most producers are saying is to themselves is, if I get a payment this year, will it make up for what I don't get in the following years? So I think that's the question they have in mind. Will ACRE pay out more over time? And over time means this year for them than the countercyclical and direct payment that they will lose if they sign up for ACRE payment.
Yeah. What farmers will give up, the big thing they'll give up enrolling in the ACRE program will be $4 or $5 of direct payments per year, which will be $20 to $25 over the life of the farm bill. And this year in 2009, there is a really good chance that they'll make those payments up. And again,
$20 worth
of it. Yeah, all $20 worth of it. And again, you know, just to give you a feel for what the ACRE payment will be based on will be the state yield for 2009, which Olympic average of the corn yields in Illinois would be 172 bushels per acre. We'll actually get our first feel for that August 12th, but my guess is that that'll be averaged to slightly below. And times the season average price, which will be set from September through August of 2010. And right now, those prices, if you look at cash bid prices and futures prices, would be below 350. But sort of, if at 350 in a near average price, we would get a $60 to $70 acre payment on most Illinois farms. If we get cash prices below, or our season average prices below that, we'll get higher payments. And just to give you a feel, about 375 is the break point where above that there won't be an acre payment, and below that there will be an acre payment.
So the other half of the equation is soybean for most producers in the upper two-thirds of the state. We're going to get a payment there too?
I would expect an acre payment on soybeans less than on corn. Acre payments on soybeans tend to average less and happen less frequently. Historically, they happen in 15% of the years and they average about $9 to $10 per acre. We're looking right now if our projections would hold, and again, you know, those could change, but you know, something in the $20 range for soybeans.
And then kind of the foregone conclusion is the wheat.
Wheat is almost 100% chance of a payment in Illinois. Wheat prices are well below the benchmark price right now, so wheat acre payments will happen. So the southern part of the state where they grow wheat, if wheat planted, there will be near certain payments on wheat on acre.
Let's take a little broader look at the Midwest and the Corn Belt, corn and soybeans primarily. Is there a difference this year in where payments will and won't be made? And I'm guessing that difference might be right along the Mississippi River, eastern and western Corn Belt. And so that if you're in the western Corn Belt, Iowa, Nebraska, maybe Minnesota, that if you've got a really good crop and a really big crop, it's less likely you'll get a payment.
That's correct. This year, you know, Iowa, Nebraska, and maybe Minnesota, one's never sure about Minnesota, will have lower payments than Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, just because they have higher yields. But they're still likely to have payments because of the price, likely lower prices this year. We're going to have a 413 benchmark on corn, and you know we're 350 right now. The benchmark price on soybeans is going to be 1010 or close to 1010, and cash prices are not as far below that as on corn. But we'll have to wait and see what happens to soybeans.
In general, do you prefer the acre program to the direct and countercyclical payment? And I know that's tougher for you as an economist to make that kind of subjective decision, but
I think that what you give up moving to acres $4 to $5 of direct payments, the countercyclical program that you give up by moving to the acre program, I would estimate that it won't make any payments between now and 2012. And just to give you a feel for that, there's to get a countercyclical payment on corn, you'd have to be below a season average price would have to be below $2.35, and we're well above that now. And it would take a lot to get below that $2.35 price. There's also marketing loan programs available under each one of the programs. The traditional program has a 1.95. National loan rate. Again, we don't expect LDPs because we don't expect cash prices to get below 195. Going to the acre program, you give up 70%, but you know we still expect that to be zero. I would expect acre to pay more over time than the traditional program, and it to pay in low. You know, if prices decline, those are the types of years in which acre makes big payments.
Yeah, and therein lies probably the biggest difference is, and producers know this, that they may get pretty good-sized payments out of the current farm program or traditional farm program in years that they don't necessarily need the payments, but that sometimes that program doesn't pay when they need it to pay. And that acre program set up so that if revenue really fails, that they're going to get a payment.
It is it's a revenue program. Acre's a revenue program. It makes payments when state revenue falls below a state guarantee, and the state guarantee adjusts over time, and it's based on the 5 previous yields and the 2 last season average prices.
A couple of other notes to make sure of. You don't have to put every farm or every unit, I suppose, that you have an acre this year. You can even sign up in later years, but my guess is that most people, most economists would think this would be the year to sign up and that it belongs to the farm and all the owners and participants in that farm. So producer and landowners.
The producer and landowners have to agree to put the farm in acre. If one doesn't, the farm will be in the traditional programs.
Even if the farm's sold, if you sign up, that farm unit stays in acre
till the end of the farm bill.
Yeah, so it belongs to the land, not to the producer or the landowner.
That's correct.
And therein lies a couple of differences. I suppose it makes it much more like an easement or I don't know, it's coal rights or something like that that belongs to the farm, if you're thinking about it. It's
or CRP.
CRP, sort of something like more similar to one of those things rather than the direct and countercyclical payments. And my other thought on this one, and I've asked a couple of folks this, on giving up the $5 in the acre revenue, how much they actually would spend on fungicides.
Yeah.
And not knowing whether they were going to get a payment and whether to compare that to the acre program itself.
You can look at that $5, what you give up in direct payments, as sort of an insurance. And it's different than the crop insurance because a revenue policy sets its guarantee each year. So if we have low prices in February, our revenue guarantees will be low on crop insurance. On the other hand, acre will be higher for at least 2 years because it takes that long for those prices to enter into the calculation. Also, there's a plus or minus 10% movement on the guarantee from year to year. So we don't, even if we get very low prices, acre would pay more than the traditional countercyclical programs. We calculated, and prices would have to go below 150 or 160 on corn. If you expect low prices below 150, you'd be better off in the traditional programs. Above that, acre would pay more.
Gary, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnittke is Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. I spoke with him this morning about the acre program. Of course, that acre decision will hinge across most of the Midwest on Wednesday morning's release of the crop production figures, which will include statewide averages. We'll have more on that right here on the Closing Market Report. Time now to check in on what's been happening in the world of cash grain. On the line with us from the Andersons in Champaign County is Greg Johnson. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Do you have a good week here in the Midwest?
Very good, very good. We stayed away from the storms that ripped through parts of Iowa and western Illinois, so I guess we have to consider ourselves fortunate.
And how is the basis holding out?
Farmers still are extremely tight holders of corn. We saw a little bit of a rally 2 weeks ago, but gave it back last week in corn, and so farmers are still sitting on that corn, hoping that maybe Wednesday's report's somewhat friendly, or maybe another couple of rains and they give up on the rest of this old crop. But until they do, basis levels are still firm. We're eight over here in Champaign for old crop corn. It's about 55 over down at the Gulf. And bean basis, after the big sell-off about 3-4 weeks ago, has stabilized here. Champaign's about 80 over. Down at the Gulf, it's about $1.90 over.
What would you consider a friendly corn report?
Probably if they don't raise the yield by more than a couple of bushels and if they take 1 million acres off, I think that would be friendly enough to maybe get a 20-cent rally out of this market. But if they only lose 500,000 acres but then raise the yield by 2 or 3 bushels, the one offsets the other, and then we go back to talking about early frost.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 332, new crop corn 312, cash beans 1090, new beans 995, and cash wheat 399.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Somebody from that office right here in Champaign County joins us on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National S'mores Day. The marshmallow graham cracker chocolate treat dates back at least till the early 1900s, when American food companies invented Malamars and moon pies. It's also St. Lawrence of Rome Day, patron of cooks, protector of vineyards. On this day in agricultural history in 1810, William Willett was born. An English builder, he is credited with the invention of daylight savings time. Willett says he had the idea while taking an early summer morning ride near his home in London. But his idea was not adopted until after his death in World War I as a way for wartime fuel savings. In 1817, Francis Lowell died, an American manufacturer. He was the principal founder of what is said to have been the world's first textile mill, in which under one roof, raw cotton was turned into finished cloth. In 1889, Dan Rylands patented a screw cap for bottles. He was employed at the Hope Glass Works, Barnsley, Yorkshire, England. And in 1917, Clara Peller was born. She is the actress who is famous for her Wendy's TV commercial, "Where's the Beef?" And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Tell me about the weather in the Midwest, please.
Well, we're currently seeing some shower and thunderstorm activity. The bulk of rainfall is actually in areas of the southeastern belt, namely in southern sections of Indiana and Ohio. Actually, for some of the acreage in that part of the Corn Belt, rainfall is needed, although it's not going to solve at least some of the drier trend issues that we've seen across that area of late. But you know, what we've seen over the past week is certainly been a more active pattern, but now as we move into this new week, actually the pattern has become or will become less active here. And overall, our coverage of rainfall for this week that we're in right now is about 50% of the entire belt receiving a significant amount over 0.4 inches.
If you could back up time for the Eastern Corn Belt just a bit so that this would look like, I don't know, the mid-July or the second week of July, would 50% coverage and rainfall be about normal for that time frame? I'm trying to catch the crop in its growing, in how far along it's in its growth, and see what comparison might be made.
Yeah, well, if you look back and take it, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, or even for that matter now, at this time of season, it's on average seasonal here, if not maybe just a touch below average, and it depends. You know, those areas that miss out on the rain, obviously you're below average there. But in general, it's a fairly seasonal pattern here for this time of year.
And so that would be normal for the crop in under regular normal growing season circumstances then.
Exactly, Todd.
Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure where we were with the crop at this point. In the Western Corn Belt, are they still looking really good?
Well, probably not quite as good as they have been, and that really comes down to specifically where you're located in the Western Belt. At this time, at least the driest areas over the past several weeks has been sections of northwestern Iowa and southern sections of Minnesota. Those areas have missed out on rainfall of late and are going to remain dry over the next 3 to 4 days. But it does look like over the upcoming weekend, that area does have a really good opportunity for rain. So not quite as good as what they have been, but you know, not quite as good as you're taking it from very ideal levels back a few weeks ago.
Yeah, tell me about the rainfall there then. If it's a pretty good shot at it, what are we talking about, 50, 60% more than that?
Well, specifically for that area of northwestern Iowa, southern Minnesota, it looks about 75-80% of that acreage receiving amounts over 0.4 of an inch, even some isolated areas up to 1.5 inches.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, we're watching a drier trend in sections of the China soybean belt, which is different from their ideal growing conditions of late here. Not a major issue, but that could trim some yields.
All right, thanks much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. I'll return tomorrow at this same time when we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.